beautiful anointed singing and worship. If you have your Bibles this morning, would you turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 8? And I would like to begin reading at verse 22. That's Mark, chapter 8, beginning at verse 22. Would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word? Mark, chapter 8, beginning at verse 22. And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand, and led him out of the town. And when he had spit upon his eyes, and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes, and made him look up. And he was restored, and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, Neither go into the town, nor tell it to any in the town. And I want to preach for a few moments this morning on the subject of the Master's removal from the curse. Could we go to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, we come to you today in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you so much for the wonderful, rich presence of the Holy Spirit we've been made to feel. And Lord, I'm asking you now, as I attempt to obey what I believe you have given me for your people today, help me to preach it in a way that will always bring you glory and honor. But Lord, increase our faith today. Lord, there's nothing we can do, Lord, to increase our faith. It has to be a sovereign move of your Holy Spirit. And I'm asking you, Lord, for the divine gift of healing to operate in this service today. For thy sense, there are many of your people that need a divine touch, physically, emotionally, spiritually, whatever way they need. Lord, you are the healer. And Lord Jesus, I just ask you today to keep us sensitive to your Spirit and what you want accomplished in our lives and in the service today. And Lord, as always, we're totally dependent upon you for everything. Bless the preaching of your word today. Make it clear to us, Lord. Help me to preach it in a way it will be clear. And we'll not fail to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. This 8th chapter of Mark records, beginning in verse 1 through about verse 15, the first time, or the second time, I should say, that Jesus took loaves and fishes and multiplied them to the crowd. The Bible tells us that there were 12 basketfuls left over after Jesus first took the loaves and fishes. And there's a lesson for us in this. The first thing he did was he blessed it. And when the Lord blesses anything, it's never going to come back the same way it was before it went into his hand. But then he began to break it. Oftentimes, before the Lord can bless us with full blessing, we have to be broken. But after he breaks us, he blesses again. And it's always greater than where we started. That's such a beautiful lesson in that story, but that's not the subject that I believe the Holy Spirit wants me to deal with today. After this great miracle, Jesus goes to Dalmanutha, and he's met there by a crowd of Sadducees and Pharisees who are normally bitter enemies of one another due to their doctrinal and theological differences. But now they have become united in the fact that they hate Jesus. Now think of that. The Pharisees and Sadducees who are supposed to be the Bible scholars of the day. And they're burning with hatred toward this man named Jesus. Why? Because he's destroying all of their false theology, all of their man-made laws, all of their ways that are not of God. He's exposing them for what they are. And they meet him and they ask, Lord, give us a sign. Now that's odd in and of itself. We live in a generation now that is just like these Sadducees and Pharisees were, always seeking after a sign to validate their faith. And something we need to know, signs do not increase nor validate our faith. They're wonderful when God works miracles. Praise God for it. Miracles do not produce faith, though. And can they never? Faith is only produced by the Holy Spirit of God as He sovereignly moves on an individual and gives them a greater revelation of Jesus Christ, who He is and what He's done on the cross. Then faith in Him increases. But miracles in and of themselves do not increase faith. Scripture proves that. I know in our minds we would think it to be so. That, if we just saw a continual flow of miracles, it would be easy to believe. Well, I'm here to submit to you this morning in Jesus' day. People saw a continual flow of miracles. And the same Sadducees and Pharisees hated the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But they meet Him and they said, ask Him for a sign to show who He is. And He tells them bluntly, He says, no sign will be given unto you. Because they had already seen many signs, many wonders, many miracles, and yet they refused to believe who this man from Galilee said He was, the Son of God. And now, as we begin the text this morning that we read, He leaves Dalmanutha and goes to Bethsaida. And there the friends of a blind man bring this blind man to Jesus. Now, there's a lesson there in that for us. We need one another, folks. We really do. Of course, we need the Lord Jesus Christ, but we need the faith and assistance of our brothers and sisters in the Lord. This is what the Bible calls bearing up one another's burdens. You know, they couldn't remove the burden of this blind man, and they could not transform his life. But this is how we bear one another's burdens. They knew the one who could, and they got him to Jesus. That's why I always tell you all, I try to lead you to the foot of the cross. I try to lead you to the person of Jesus Christ. Because I know that's the only help there is for any of us. And I know if you get to Jesus, glory to God, I'll preach it one more time. He's full of mercy and grace and compassion and power. And He'll help you out. Hallelujah. He'll help you out. He's never turned a deaf ear to nobody, Sister Helen. Hallelujah. And He won't to you either this morning. Stretch forth your hands toward her this morning. Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, bless my sister today, Lord. Lighten her load, Lord Jesus, as she brings it unto You. And let give her a light, renewed spirit today, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. We need one another. And this man's friends brought him unto Jesus. And it's in Bethsaida. A place that had seen so many miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ that it beggars description. I'll tell you how bad it was for Jesus. That's a poor way to say it. How full of unbelief they were in Bethsaida toward Jesus. Because in Matthew chapter 11, Jesus pronounces a curse upon Bethsaida, the cities of Bethsaida and Chorazin. And He says, woe unto you, Chorazin. Woe unto you, Bethsaida. For if the miracles that had been performed in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago. So you see, these miracles do not produce faith because Jesus had performed many of them in the city of Bethsaida. And yet here they are still asking Him for a sign. When you make up your mind that you're not going to believe exclusively in Jesus, nothing can satisfy your spiritual soul. It will always require something else. And in the miracle-crazed, sign-seeking world and a religious world in which we live, that's where they've missed Jesus in the shuffle. They want the signs. They want the wonders. They want the manifestations. And praise God for those. But Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. What we're to do as believers is to place our faith and trust exclusively in Jesus Christ and leave it to Him to work the signs and wonders which will follow. Notice it doesn't say we as believers are to follow after signs and wonders. It says signs and wonders will follow those that believe. And Bethsaida had seen the mighty miracles of this carpenter from Galilee and yet refused to believe. But there was a small band in this city who knew that this carpenter from Galilee is who He says He is. Oh, thank God that it don't take much faith to touch His heart. Thank God it don't take much to move the mighty nail-scarred hand toward healing. If you believe him, the Bible says, with a grain of mustard seed, if your faith is that much, that you can move mountains. And this man's friends, this blind man, who's been blind, it appears, since birth, they bring him to Jesus and ask him, Lord, will you heal him? Great lesson on intercessory prayer here. We need to be interceding for one another. That's how we're bearing one another's burdens and getting people to Jesus where they'll get the help they need. I don't want to lead folks to any man-made thing. I want to lead them to Jesus. Hallelujah. Because Jesus is so magnificent. Jesus is so wonderful. He's such a loving Savior. And the small band in Bethsaida, though Christ had been rejected and had cursed this city for its unbelief in him, at the mighty miracles he had performed there, still this small bunch comes and they say, Jesus, Son of David, you can heal this blind man. Think of that. Jesus does something now and he sees their faith. And there's another so many lessons in this story that the Lord showed me. He sees their faith. Faith will always, if it's proper faith in Christ, it will always move the hand of God in some form or fashion. We need to know that this morning. I need to say that again. Faith, if it is in Jesus Christ, will always move the hand of God in some form or fashion. God loves faith in Jesus Christ. And if that faith is exclusive in Jesus, you're going to see the hand of God move in your life in some way. It may not be the way you expected. It may not be the way that you thought it ought to be done. But praise God, it will get done. Praise the Lord. And as they brought this man to Jesus in times past, they'd seen Jesus heal in the city of Bethsaida. No doubt, and he had just spoken the word over people. Lepers instantly receiving clean skin at the words of this man from Galilee who was more than just a man. Leper be cleansed. And instantaneously a leper's skin eaten by sores and scales made as fresh as a baby's. They'd seen him raise the dead. They'd seen him pull the lame to their feet. Heal all manner of diseases. Yet they refused to believe him. But this bunch does, this few people. Again, thank God it don't take many. Just a few that'll believe God is all God needs and he can do mighty things. But in this cursed city, as they bring this blind man to Jesus, Jesus knows he's already cursed this place. Sometimes you got to get out of the place where you're in before God can bless you the way he wants to. And in times past, Jesus had instantaneously spoken the words of healing. And that's no doubt what these men expected. But Jesus doesn't do it that way this time. The Holy Spirit wants to illustrate something to us in this story. Jesus, it appears, pulls him away from his friends and his family. Sometimes God's got to separate us from those that are closest to us before he can do his mightiest work in us. Because we're all susceptible to being influenced by those that we love. And Jesus sometimes has to get us to a place to where only he can influence us. And he saw that this blind man needed to get out of this cursed place. And he needed to get alone with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So Jesus takes him by the hand and starts walking with him out of town. All alone, just him and Jesus. My Lord, the sweetest moments of my life, and I love you all, and I love my wife and children, but some of the sweetest moments I've known on earth have been when it's just been me and him. Just me and him. I think you bear witness with what I'm saying. But Jesus takes him out of Bethsaida, which is the cursed place, because Jesus is going to bless him. Oh, I need to preach here for a moment. There's such blessing in being alone with Jesus. When it's just you and him. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory when it's just you and him. And that's Jesus wanted to do a work so magnificent in this blind man's life that he had to get him away out of the cursed place and get him alone where it was just he and this blind man. And Jesus takes him by the hand and leads him out of town. Man, can you imagine this? Can you get a picture of this in your mind? That the Lord of glory grabs your hand and says, come walk with me. But let me tell you, spiritually speaking, that's exactly what he wants to do with us every day of our life. Hallelujah. If we'll let him, if we'll reach out and grab hold of that nail-scarred hand, he'll still walk with us. And he'll take us somewhere in him that is a place of blessing that will be greater than anything we've ever known. But he leads this blind man out of town, away from his friends. He isolates him. You know, Satan tries to do the same thing in a way. He wants to isolate you and keep you away from Jesus. But whenever Jesus isolates you, it's because he wants to give you more of him. And he wants to bless you. And they get out of town. I wonder what they talked about. I wish the Holy Spirit had seen fit to tell us a little bit. Because you know they had to have a conversation. This blind man asking, Lord, where are we going? Where are you leading me to, sir? And Jesus just keeps walking with him. The Lord don't always tell us where he's taking us to. But praise the Lord, when we got a hold of his hand, we know it's going to be good. And they arrive at the specific place outside the city of Bethsaida. And this is the only miracle in Scripture that's recorded where it was a progressive miracle performed by the Lord. Every other miracle you see performed in Scripture by the Lord Jesus Christ, it was done instantaneously and it was done completely, except for this occurrence in Mark 8:22 through 26. And now Jesus does something that's very odd once he gets him out of town. He spits on him. In his eyes. Now, you think, yuck. If I can use a big theological term, yuck. You know, I mean, think of this, you know, spitting in your eyes. My Lord, that's kind of gross, ain't it? But what was Jesus doing? There's a tremendous lesson here on faith. The Lord works with us where we are. In our walk with him. Our faith is not perfect. Can I tell you that? We believe a lot of strange things sometimes. I'm talking about those of us that even know the message of the cross. I'm not talking about heretical beliefs. But I'm just talking about nobody's faith is perfect. And nobody's theology is 100% perfect in all areas. Now, of course, the message of the cross. Faith in Christ and him crucified. That's perfect doctrine there. Yeah, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying in other areas, we still all have misunderstandings, things we don't know. It was believed in Jesus' day that spittle had healing qualities to it. Human spit, human saliva had healing properties to it. And modern medical science has kind of proved this out, that it does. Because why do you think it's your first reaction if you put your finger on a hot stove? Like I did the other day when I was making some macaroni and cheese. What's your first response? Huh? Now nobody's going to want to shake hands with me. I brushed my teeth this morning. I'll take hugs after service. You don't have to shake my hand. And they believed that spittle had healing properties to it. And so Jesus was working with this man right where his faith was. He was honoring the faith that he had. Although it was imperfect and although it was flawed, this is such a great example of the Lord's grace and mercy as he works with us where we are. He sees where we're going to be, but he works with us where we are. And he wanted to build the faith of this blind man. He was going to heal him ultimately. And so he spits on him. And then the Lord asks him, "What do you see now?" And he says, Lord, I see men walking around like trees. His vision was cloudy. There's so many great lessons in this that I believe the Lord showed me. There's a spiritual application here too. When we first come to the Lord And even now, again, we don't know everything. We can't see him as clearly as we ought to. But he works with us where we are to build and increase our faith. Of course, the Lord Jesus could have instantly spoken, as he had in times past, to this blind man and say, "Receive your sight." But in this unique instance, the Holy Spirit was wanting to illustrate to us something beyond physical healing. He was wanting to teach us about progressive revelation of who Jesus is. That when we first come to the Lord Jesus Christ, we don't know everything. We still don't know everything. But little by little, we get a clearer picture of who he is as we live for the Lord with our faith anchored in Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit working on us. I see Jesus more clearly today than I did 10 years ago, but I've still got so much farther to go. There's still so much more of him to be revealed, so much more of his grace and mercy and love that I have yet to learn about. But thank God for where he's brought me to. And that's what the Holy Spirit is teaching us in this progressive miracle. It speaks of progressive revelation and sanctification of the person of Jesus Christ. And he said, "Lord, I see men walking as trees." Now think of that. If you had a Word of Faith teacher here, this blows all Word of Faith theology out of the water. They'd have said, "Well, his faith wasn't just strong enough. Walk away and leave him alone." Wouldn't they, Mike? Now, that's according to what they teach, that's what should have happened here. "Well, he just didn't have enough faith. Bless God. Glory to God. He didn't have enough faith like I do." I'm mocking Kim Copeland. But if what they were saying was right, Jesus would have walked away from him right here. "Well, you just don't have enough faith." After leading him to a place, out of the cursed place, into a place where the Lord was going to bless him. And this shows you the Lord's grace and grace and mercy in working with us, with our imperfect faith, with all of our flaws, with all of our wrong theology. And you can get a whole lot of theology wrong. Can I tell you that? Or a whole lot of knowledge about the Bible. You can get a lot of it wrong and still be all right if your faith is anchored in Christ's shed blood. Because the Holy Spirit's going to keep working with you to fix all the other junk. If the main centerpiece of your faith is Christ and him crucified, the Holy Spirit is going to progressively keep working with you. And I look back on things I believed and preached 10, 15 years ago. I'm embarrassed by it. It was such foolishness. It really was. And I loved God's people. And before I knew and understood the message of the cross, I've always wanted to lead them in the right direction. Because every time before I teach or preach, there's one thing. Even as I'm preparing through the week, it's a burden on me and I'm glad it's there, that I've never been able to shake. And it's this: I will answer one day before the Lord Jesus Christ every word I preach to the people of God. And I want to make sure it's right. I want to make sure what I tell them is right. I've always wanted that. But I'm embarrassed by things I preached 10 or 15 years ago. But I have learned since then, and the Holy Spirit has showed me, after the Lord initially saved me and brought me into the glorious, progressive revelation of Christ and him crucified, that if I'd simply keep my faith in his shed blood, that blessing is going to flow and he's going to not give up on me when I get it wrong. He's going to forgive my imperfect faith and keep working with me as long as my faith is exclusively anchored in his precious shed blood. Hallelujah. He won't quit. He won't quit on you. Somebody needs to hear that this morning. Satan's been telling you God's tired of you. God's given up on you. You've bothered him one too many times. I've got good news for us all this morning. We haven't bothered him too many times. He understands our imperfect faith. He understands some of our foolish beliefs and loves us enough to work with us through it if we'll keep our faith exclusively in him. And this blind man, that's what's going on here. He says, "Lord, I see men walking as trees now." And the Lord doesn't condemn him. Not one word of condemnation. And again, according to Word of Faith teachers, Jesus should have walked away from him right here. He didn't have enough faith. But the Lord picks up some sand and puts it, and spits on that and puts it on his eyes. And he tells him, now look up. That's symbolic of the of us looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And then this man, this blind man, looks up, and now his vision's 20/20. And he's received more than his eyesight. He's received a revelation of who Jesus is. The Bible, or not the Bible, the old song, at the cross. At the cross, where I first saw the light. And the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. And now I'm happy all the day. As relating to sanctification, I want to say this right. In my walk with the Lord, and I believe you'll bear witness with this too, we were all blinded till we understood the cross for sanctification. We were like this blind man when we first got saved. We knew his precious blood saved us. But if you were like me, and I suspect most of us were, we really didn't have any idea of how to properly live for him. But he didn't quit on us. Jesus said in Matthew 5 and 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. If you fall in love with Jesus and what he did for you on the cross, he's going to keep working with you no matter what. He will keep sending the Holy Spirit to teach you, to shape us, to mold us and guide us and sharpen, if you will, our spiritual vision continually. We none see all that we should right now about Jesus, not a one of us. We see a lot more than we used to. We were just like this blind man when we first came to him without understanding the cross for sanctification. We got some of it. We got some of it, not all of it. But he didn't turn us away. Praise God. And it was that hunger for truth that if you're in this church, if you attend Crossway Community Church, it's because you're hungry for the truth. And I'm not saying I'm the source of it. I'm saying you're hungry for Jesus because that's what you're going to get here. You're not going to get any plan, any program, any showboating. You're going to get Jesus. When we sing Jesus. When we teach Jesus. When we preach Jesus and him crucified. Praise God. And even in all of our foolishness and all of our lack of spiritual hearing and seeing, like this blind man was initially, the Lord keeps working with us until we get the full revelation of who he is. Praise God. You know, there's a lot of noise out there and a lot of things that want to cloud our vision. That's why our focus must be on Christ and him crucified. You know, driving into church this morning, Austin had his headphones on and was listening to his iPhone. And I was talking to Ravana. And I said, Ravana, I said, I really believe that the Lord has given me a tremendous word, a tremendous message this morning out of Mark chapter 8. And Vani retorted back, she was just half feeling, she said, Mark chapter 8, she said, is that the maniac, the story of the maniac, which is Mark chapter 5, the demoniac at Gadara? And I said, no, it's not. And Austin takes off his headsets and says, is God going to give us a Mark 8, Dad? Mom, you shouldn't call him a maniac because of that. Noise. The same is true in the spiritual realm. That if we're not focused on Jesus, noise can cause us to believe a lot of junk. And we can't hear or see as clearly as we ought to if our focus is not on the Lord Jesus Christ. But this blind man finally got it all, and the Lord didn't give up on him. Praise the Lord. The only instance in Scripture where there was a progressive healing done by the Lord Jesus Christ. And why was it this way? To teach us this lesson that I've tried to bring this morning. That we none know it all. We none see it all. But if we'll keep walking with him through all of our imperfect belief, through all of our imperfect faith, He'll keep working with us. Praise God. Praise God. Aren't you glad he's that way? My Lord, I'd have give up on me 15 years ago. I said, that guy's trying. If I'd been the Lord, I said, that guy's down there trying to preach my word, but he's a nut. Really, I'd have condemned myself if I'd been the Lord. But I always understood perfectly his sacrifice on the cross for salvation and preached it hard. I always preached the cross for salvation. But oh, that happy day when I got the full revelation of how to live for him, of how to walk with him. That day he took me by the hand in Baton Rouge. He got me out of Mount Vernon. I was all alone down there. But my, what he showed me in a few minutes' time opened my eyes to the most glorious revelation I've ever known, Christ and him crucified, and how to live for God. Wow. Wow. And it was all by looking unto him, the author and the finisher of my faith. I hope this message has been an encouragement to you today, to know that if you felt like, oh, I just don't know very much at all about the Lord, well, welcome to the human race. None of us do, really. I'm not being facetious. With all that we do know about him, it's minuscule. We'll ever be learning about the person of Jesus and receiving more revelation about his glorious work for us throughout the eons of eternity. Hallelujah. Don't that bless you to know that? There's always going to be more glory. There's always going to be more revelation of his grace and mercy and love toward us, even when we're in heaven. Praise God. Don't feel bad if you don't know it all. Keep your faith right, though. And when he calls you aside, walk with him. Let him take you by the hand when he wants to. And if he's got to get you away from friends and family to speak to you, and get you out of somewhere for a little while, or call you aside, so to speak, so he can really talk to you and tell you what he wants to do for you, don't resist him. It'll be a precious, precious event, and it'll be great blessing. You know, when we speak of blessing, I thank the Lord that all of my material needs are more than met. But I tell you this, the sweetest things he's ever given me are deeper revelations of who he is. My Lord, those have been the greatest times of my life here on earth. When he has called me aside and pulled me out for a while, says, I want to show you some things. I want to heal your spiritual vision a little bit. I want to clarify who I am a little bit more for you. I want to reveal to you a little bit more about my person. That's the greatest thing the Lord will ever give us in this life or even in eternity. And if you possess that, be happy. You're more than a millionaire. You're more than anything this world could ever offer is to know him. They used to have that song, Knowing You, Jesus, Knowing You. That's the greatest thing. Praise God. Praise God. As we go to the altar service this morning, the Holy Spirit, I believe, wants us to believe him this morning. I believe he spoke specifically to me and said, my people need healing today. That was his word. I don't know if some I know of need physical healings. It may be something else. Emotional, spiritual, whatever. Financial, bring it to him today and believe him. Bring it to him today and believe him. He will honor your faith. He will honor your faith in him. Praise God. Would you bow your heads? Heavenly Father, we come to you today in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you for your patience with us. I thank you, Lord, that you'll keep working with us as long as we'll just keep on believing in you. All of our foolishness, all of our wrong belief, all of our imperfections will not cause you to stop working with us if we'll just keep believing you. Lord, as we move to this altar service today, and would you please stand? And Phil, if you would you just put something soft on the CD if you got something? If you don't, that's okay. I believe the Holy Spirit's message to us at this altar call today is to have faith in Jesus. And in a few moments, we're going to bear up one another's burdens. We're going to pray for one another. And maybe you don't have all the faith that you should have today in what you're asking God for. You've got a family of friends around you that I believe God's going to bless somebody to have the faith for you, just like the friends of this blind man. And we're going to bear up that burden with you today. And God will move upon it. The hand of God will honor somebody. He'll give somebody the gift of faith to believe for you today. I'm going to ask everybody who will now, would you come and present yourselves at the altar of the Lord? And Heavenly Father, as we come and approach you this morning at the holy altar of God, I ask in the name of Jesus for faith to fall all over this altar and into our hearts and lives. I'm asking for the Holy Spirit of God to give us faith. I'm asking, Lord, that you would give us a fresh revelation today first of who you are, how gracious and merciful and loving you are, even in spite of our imperfections, even in spite of all of the flaws. You'll still bless us, because the only way we can be perfected is by faith in your precious shed blood. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Yes, Lord, we are. Yes. Thank you that you took our place, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord. Great song, Phil. Thank you for your sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. I feel faith all over this altar now. And there's some of you I want to pray for now. Because I know the only reason I'm doing that, I don't want to play with you, make you think the Holy Spirit's revealing anything to me. At least not at this moment. There are some of you, I know your situation, and I want to pray for you. And I believe the Holy Spirit's simply saying, believe Jesus. Don't worry about your mistakes. Don't worry about your imperfect faith. Just believe Jesus. He'll still work with you if your faith's in him. Thank you, Lord. Phyllis, would you come here? Would some of you ladies gather around Phyllis? Two things I want to pray for as Phyllis stands in this morning. I want to continue to pray for Deshaun. But two, Maritas, Phil's wife. I don't know how many of you know that she's been very sick over in the Philippines. She's contracted chickenpox. Yeah, I almost said the mumps. She's contracted chickenpox. And she's been very sick. And she's been trying to work for God over there. She needs his healing touch this morning. And I want to ask you all, lay hands on Phyllis and let's believe God for these requests. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. And Lord, we don't need to impress you with some fanciful prayer today. Our faith is in you, Lord Jesus. And we believe you right now for divine healing virtue to go forth into Maritas' body. Lord, let her be able to say at this hour, she felt the touch of the nail-scarred hand. Totally eradicate from her body this infection, I pray in Jesus' name. And Lord, we ask you to touch Deshaun. Lord, this young man whom you've gifted with such a great, great intellect, Lord Jesus. Heal his body, I pray. In the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, I'm not saying this for hype. I genuinely sense your Holy Spirit moving right now upon these individuals. And we give you praise and glory, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Connie, would you come here? I want to pray for Daryl this morning. Her cousin's husband is very sick with cancer and needs a miracle. Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus today, you hold the number of days you want Daryl to spend on planet Earth. And I know Daryl believes you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we don't know your perfect will, but I feel to pray this way for Daryl this morning. In the name of Jesus, extend his life and make it a good quality of life. Lord God, I just feel in my spirit this morning his time on earth is not going to be over in a few months. And I asked you in Jesus' name to send your healing virtue into Daryl's body, Lord. Father, we ask you to keep your hand upon Jennifer in Jesus' name. And Lord, I just believe you that she's going to have a good, healthy, normal delivery, Lord, with no complications. And give Connie a peace to know, Lord, you're working. You're at work and you've heard these prayers. And your hand is moving upon these situations. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Deb, would you come here and pray for your friends this morning? Some of you know couldn't be here on Wednesday night. She has a friend of hers who's in the Army, a young lady, cut her finger and they were making her scrub toilets. It became infected, went all the way to her bone. They may have to amputate the finger. And she has another friend who's. They checked him 25 areas for cancer, and all 25 came back as having cancer. That was her father. Yeah, that's right. And they need our prayers this morning. I sense a lot of faith around this altar this morning. Yes, you had that. What was her name? John Schellenberger has cancer too. Let's believe God for these this morning. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus today, first, Lord, I ask you to lay your hand upon Deb's shoulder, Lord. Let her feel the power of God right now flowing into that shoulder to heal it completely in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray for Mr. Schellenberger today in the name of Jesus that you would completely heal his body of this cancer, Lord. Heavenly Father, we pray for this other gentleman who had 25 biopsies of cancer. Lord, I know you can do these things, and we believe you. We bear up this burden with Deb. And Lord, for this young lady, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to touch her that she would not lose her finger and let this infection dissipate in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Let your power fall upon Deb right now, Lord, as you minister under her shoulder situation, Lord Jesus. Let her feel the warmth of the healing touch of the Lord Jesus Christ upon her right now. Amen and amen. Praise God, praise God. Paula, would you come here? I want to pray for you this morning. I don't know. This one I don't know. I just feel the Lord impressing me to pray for you. Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we come today. And Lord, I do know that Paula's had a career change here of late. Enemy has tried to come against her to discourage her concerning this. I know he has. But Lord, I believe you're having me pray for her this morning, for her to know that her God is holding her hand, that Jesus has led her to this place. And it's going to be a place of blessing. She may not be able, as we taught from the Bible this morning, she may not be able to see clearly all of it now, but you've led her there, Lord. You're her God and her Savior. And you've taken her by the hand and led her there, and it's going to be a place of blessing. And Lord, just give her that fresh faith and confidence today to know that it's in the nail-scarred hand. Hallelujah. And that it's going to be okay. Thank you, Lord. Bless her this morning, Lord Jesus. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Is there anybody else this morning you need special prayer for any reason at all? You don't even have to share it with us. You just want us to pray for you today. Chloe, come here, sweetie. Let's pray for her. Heavenly Father, we come to you today in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you for this precious little girl. Lord, who I've been privileged to know since she was just a tiny, tiny little girl. And now you've turned her into a beautiful young lady. Bless and keep her, Lord. Pour the oil and wine of the Holy Spirit all over her, Lord Jesus. She's special to you, Lord. And I know you're going to keep her and guide her life. Lord, may Chloe always have a desire in her heart, given by your Holy Spirit, to follow Jesus and to serve Jesus. And to know that Jesus will lead and guide her life and keep her in his care. Just bless her with that knowledge, even at the tender young age she is, Lord. Bless her in Jesus' name. amen. And amen. Praise God. Is there anybody else you want prayer for? Anyone? Jeremy, I want to pray for you this morning. Mark, would you come here? I want to pray for you too, buddy. I want you and Jeremy, if you would, I to get weary. I want y'all to lay your hands on one another's backs. Guys and ladies, gather around. Father, in the name of Jesus, these two young men are such blessings to the kingdom of God. They have dedicated their lives, Lord, to you. And Lord, it's a struggle out there right now for young men to make a living for their families. And Lord, I just sense that they've been pressured in many ways by the enemy and tempted in many ways. But in the name of Jesus, bless them this morning with fresh faith, with a fresh move of your Spirit. And Lord, I'm praying specifically for both of them, for you to give them a substantial increase in income. However you want to do it, Lord, through promotion on the job, through another job, bless them, Lord, in the name of Jesus and their families. And oh God, I pray for Mark as he begins school, Lord. I know how hard that is to work and go to school on top of it. But Lord, give him strength to complete this program. And Lord, I know he's heard from you. I know he's prayed about it. And in the name of Jesus, let him see it through to completion, Lord. And give him strength on those nights when he's going to be dog tired and he can't hardly read the words in the book. But let him know you're going to be with him. And the good work you've begun in he and Jeremy, you're going to see it through to completion. Lord, they may not see everything right now clearly, but take them by the hand this morning and let them feel your hand in theirs, Lord, knowing you're leading them to a place of blessing. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Praise your holy name, Lord Jesus Christ. Now I just feel to pray for us all. Could we just lift our hands in these last few moments together? Lord Jesus, we come to you now and we offer up our lives. Lord, we offer up everything we are to you and ask you to take us by the hand and lead us, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You won't quit on us with our imperfections, with our imperfect faith, and with all of our foolish beliefs. Isolate us if need be, Lord, to hear clearly from you and you alone on the issues that we've been seeking you about. Only you, Lord Jesus, only you. We praise you and thank you for what I believe has been a great move of the Holy Spirit this morning. And I believe that some are going to testify of healing. I expect to hear good reports, Lord, concerning everyone we've prayed for today. And Jesus, as always, we thank you for who you are, and we thank you for sending your Holy Spirit to be among us. We honor and praise you, King of kings and Lord of lords. Amen and amen. Let's give him a hand of praise this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, it's been so good to be in God's house with you this morning. We're going to read back in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, teaching on the superiority of love and what biblical love is. Jessica, can I pray for you? I want you to stand in for Chris this morning. Thank you, Lord. Touch her. Lay hands on her. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus today, Lord, first of all, I ask you to touch Chris's body and heal him. He's been battling with the virus for over a month now. But Lord, I just sense Jessica needs your divine strength and encouragement. Lord, I don't know in what way, but you do. And Lord, I believe by you having me pray for her today, you confirm to her that her God is aware and he's hearing her prayers and that he's got her by the hand and that he's leading her to a place of blessing. Even if she can't clearly see it now, Lord, just give her the faith to keep holding your hand and you're going to bless her mightily in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. On Wednesday night, we'll be back in 1 Corinthians 13. Chris won't be able to be with us. He's got to work nights this coming week. But praise God. Praise God. Stretch forth your hand here toward Mike. Oh, God.